This week's episode of Dan Really Likes Wine comes to you from Cape Wine 2025 with Wines of South Africa and is brought to you by Johnson Workwear, the official workwear partner of Cape Wine. Whether you're working in the vineyards, pouring wine in the cellars, or just hosting a podcast about wine, they've got the perfect outfit just for you. This week on Dan Really Likes Wine, Dan catching his breath on the back of an absolutely manic but quite wonderful celebration of all that is good about South African wine, and indeed so much that is good about South Africa, because Cape Wine 2025, off a pretty high base of Cape Wine 2022, has knocked it out of the park comprehensively, which is why my guest has a beaming smile and somehow is not looking nearly as exhausted as she should be after all of this. Siobhan Thompson, welcome. And congratulations, you and your team have done something very special.
Thank you, Dan. I can't stop smiling. It's a sunshine day.
The build-up to this, I mean, we've had many conversations over the last couple of years as you start putting together this grand gathering. It is an almighty effort to bring together so many people from around the world, all of the producers connecting all of the events. There are times, I'm sure, when you're shaking your head, wondering, is this all worth it? And then you get here, and then you see it unfold, and you know it's worth it 100 times over.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's 2 years in the making. It really is. And this beautiful blonde head isn't always blonde. It went very gray. And we've got a really small team, but we pull it off. To me, it's like the wedding. You don't know half of what goes on behind the scenes. And for me, it's just the absolute buzz of walking into the hall on Thursday. And we had the music, as you saw, we had the drummers, and producers were happy. Everyone was smiling. I've done about 10 cruises around the floor, just making sure everyone's happy. And the comments have been so positive from both the producers and our guests. And I think what's extraordinary for me is the amount of togetherness you're seeing, the collaboration, the positivity. So that just makes my heart really warm. And that's what I want.
In the build-up to this event, there are lots of things looking on that we can see you must have been working on. How do we put the floor together? How do we get all the producers together? Who do we bring in from around the world? And the international contingent is staggering. But there must also be a lot of philosophical discussion in terms of, yes, we are showing South African wine to the world, but how are we doing that? What's the messaging we're trying to get about? What can this do to dramatically change the game for South African wine? What was the philosophy? What was the thought process as this build-up unfolded?
I think the most important thing is to really show the world what quality wine we have. We have wine that can stand up to the best in the world. So that's the first thing. The second thing is how collaborative we can work. So how do we do things in a smart way and send out one message instead of a whole lot of diverse messages? I think that's the other thing. And really to show that in the face of diversity, we can stand together, we can push forward, and we can grow our industry. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing here, is you're seeing ways of, you know, I always say the river will flow. If you block it on one side, it's going to flow the other side. And that's about South African optimism. And I think that was very much about showing the world what we've got, selling good wine, and showing them that we will push forward.
There is an almost inherent bipolar nature to South Africans as a whole. We're either the greatest country in the world, we've just won a World Cup, it's absolutely fantastic, there's nowhere better, or I can't believe the latest corruption story, I'm moving to Auckland, it's all terrible, it's all falling apart. There's very rarely a middle ground that South Africa occupies, and the wine comparison, I think, has been there to see a lot of late. There are tariffs, people aren't drinking anymore, we're battling, the wine industry is all falling apart, and then you get a week like this where we've got the world arriving and going, we knew you wine was good, but we've forgotten just how quite good it was, or we didn't realize it had reached this level in so many different spaces. Mm. The sense of triumph, the sense of joy, the sense of self-belief that has emanated out of this week of the industry coming together is probably, for me, the most uplifting takeaway. Mm.
You said something that really resonates with me, self-belief. I think as South Africans, we tended to not believe in ourselves. We always think we're the bad child on the block and that we can't do it. But yet we keep going forward and we keep going forward. And I think that's our resilience. And this is what I'm seeing now, is this optimism and belief that's grown. And I think there's a huge sense of positivity that actually we're starting to believe in ourselves. We can be confident. And I always liken it to the growth stages of a child becoming an adult you know, and becoming seasoned. And I think we're now at the end of our teenagehood. We are young adults. We're starting to get confident in what we do within our industry. And that's what you're feeling today.
Over the years, when I've mentioned South African wine in circles of people for whom wine is, if not the out-and-out business, then certainly a very familiar space, the same kind of names often pop up. They know Ibn Sadi, they know Andrea Molyneux, they know Ardy Badenhorst, or when it comes to brands, whether it's the slightly bigger commercial, they know a Chocolate Block, or they know a wine that is well-established, has a big name behind it. I'm now finding that list of names is growing dramatically. That list of wines people know is so expanded. It makes me so proud. I'm sure it makes you really proud as well, but at a slightly more functional level, that's a really important barometer of where we're finding ourselves.
100%. And we always say we need brands. We need brands to present to consumers. And we need to create that that longevity. And you do that through building brands. And that pool of brands are growing. They grow. More people are saying, oh, I've just found that wonderful wine. And then you hear another person saying the same thing, another person saying, and then you go out into the world and you start seeing that brand being represented across the globe in multiple countries. And I think that's what's starting to happen is we're growing brands. We have to grow brands. I think we've got a long way still to go to grow big global brands. Chocolate Block is always such a good analogy, well, example of a brand that it sits at a very, I think, a good price level. And you speak to people around the world, they go, oh, Chocolate Block, we know it. And it's really one SKU that's doing that job. And I think that's the maturity of the industry we're starting to see. That does take time and it does take investment.
Yeah, it's not a copy-paste, oh, look what Chocolate Block's doing, let's do exactly the same thing. There are a lot of elements that go into that, and we can't just photocopy them and bang, we've got 100 of them, but we can learn from them. We can learn from the people who have succeeded as we learn from the feedback we get from so many of our guests. So what, from your perspective, looking at this week, looking at the learning that's come from the experience of people around the world interacting with the South African wine industry, is a way in which we can create more Chocolate Blocks, create more of these South African presences at a global level?
So I think the most important thing is look at what your consumer needs are. They might not be the same in all markets. Build a brand around that, but also be consistent. So building brands can take 10 to 20 years. You've got to go out there. You've got to put your feet on the street. You've got to knock on the doors. You've got to keep building the message with the trade and with the consumer. And you can't decide after 3 years, oops, this is not doing it. You've got to keep going. And I think that's where the brands have really made themselves strong, is where they've been consistent and done the work. I think what's also important for South Africa is that we have brands at different rungs on the price ladder, if you want to say. So entry level is important. You've got to get people into wine. Then they'll migrate up the ladder to the sort of mid-price level and then premium and super premium. And I think we need brands at all levels, not just super premium level, because that's not your scale. You will have a niche, more of a niche market there, and that creates the halo for South Africa. So that's fantastic. We do need that. But we also need that big fat belly out there of brands that are really going to satisfy the mass market and that we can supply. And this is what we're learning to do. And I think, you know, this is what's so important about our industries. We also need to be sustainable in terms of the financial model. Because if you're making a good return on the product, you can invest in the product. And I think that's always been a challenge for our industry. Make a decent return to be able to invest in both the brand building and the sort of infrastructure, be it people or place, that's behind the brand.
Speaking of place, not from whence the wine comes, but from where it is headed, the collection of guests you've brought in from around the world has amazed me. There is a touch of uncertainty to the American markets. I think many of our producers are looking at other homes for their wine. Half the people at Cape Wine seem to be speaking Swedish. There are vast tranches of UK journalists. We've had journalists, members of the trade from China, from the Netherlands, and also a healthy dose of people from the continent. What is exciting you most about a destination solution for South African wine, given that American uncertainty?
So I want to go back to America. While we've had some challenges there, I think it's still a very important market. And I firmly believe those challenges are not going to last forever. So I always say to producers, the last thing you can do is disinvest. You've still got to put the backing behind that, the work you've done for the past 10 years, 5 years. And I do feel that we can still grow brands in America. And I do feel there is still a future there. And ironically, you should see how many Americans are here. They're here and they still support us. And I think that's important. Yes, we do need to continue growing other markets. Good opportunities in Canada, for instance. They've sort of disinvested from American wines. But I think there's good opportunity for us to listen, Chardonnays, Cabernets in Canada. I think there's good opportunity in the East, be it Thailand, be it China, Japan. We've got a few challenges with trade barriers, but I think that's being worked on. And I just think you always look for opportunities where you go, but don't just walk away from the United States.
I think that's an important point to keep simmering.
That's very important.
Now we've met some wonderful Americans, TJ Douglas over from the Urban Grape. We've had June Roddell from Houston, from Goodnight Hospitality. And they have probably the most important element of all in their presence here. They are besotted with South African wine. And that's not something you can buy. That's not something you can engineer. That's very genuine.
Correct. And it takes time to get those people up and running. I was sitting in the bus off to an event last night because that's what we have to do when we're celebrities. and I had an importer from Alabama, and they were just saying, I absolutely love South Africa. They keep coming back. And there's that analogy of when the African dust settles on your skin, it creeps underneath and stays there forever. They feel like that. So those are people who are passionate and loyal, and they'll keep going. Yes, their portfolios may decrease slightly, or they may, their sales might drop a bit, but they're always going to be passionate. And I find we're going to find ways of conquering these challenges as well.
It's not too hard to persuade people about the merits of South African wine once you've bought them here, because they just have to set foot on the ground, put a glass of wine in hand, and already they are smitten. And that speaks in many ways to this new brand position that got launched at Cape Wine. You were very cloak and dagger about this in the build-ups by my best efforts to find out, but it's now out in the open. It's really exciting. Tell us about this new journey forward.
Well, it's about what I'm wearing today. Yellow, sunglasses. So I think what is important is we've had many messages out trying to tell the world that we're diverse, we do this, we do that, and we do a lot of things very well. However, it started to become too complicated and everyone was saying a different thing. So we went back to the basics and said, what do we need to tell the world that's really going to tug on their heartstrings and make them feel emotional? And it was just the most simplest things that boil down to one aspect. And I'm going to say sunshine. Okay. So sunshine can be across so many aspects. But the most important thing is if we look at our South Africanism or our South Africanness, we are optimistic. I always say, no matter what hardship hits us, we make a joke out of it. We'll find a way to do things. Our people are joyful. They are creative. They are sunny in their personalities. So that's the people. Our place is sunny. We have 300 Sundays a year in average in South Africa. Did you know that? I Googled it. It's real.
Even in Cape Town?
No, average across South Africa. We have 300, because we are South Africans. We have 300 Sundays.
That's an important number.
We have sun in our vineyards. It's what creates our beautiful grapes that become our wine. So right from the people to the place to what goes into the glass is sunshine. So our new payoff line is there's sunshine inside, because it encompasses everything that we do. And our new logo is a beautiful yellow protea that can look like a sunrise. And when you use it digitally, it opens up like a flower opens up, or like a sunrise in the morning. So a lot of focus on the orange and yellow hues, hence my yellow shirt and my sunglasses. And we went through a very careful process to build this, because we needed everyone to buy into it. You don't want one person saying something and another person saying another. And we said, that's what's happened in the past. We want a unified message. So we did stakeholder groups. We involved the industry, and it was amazing. I actually got goosebumps the first time I saw it, because I went, this works for me. And then when the more I showed it to people, the more I included them, they went, this works for them. So I think that's what's so important is it's a message that we've created that the whole industry is behind, and it's simplistic, and it actually explains everything that wine, our wine, is about.
It's a really, really exciting time. I can see you just bouncing, which is terrific. Probably a good time to have a toast. I asked you to bring a bottle of wine with you, which you have done. Now, when you're the CEO of Woza, you click your fingers and you just get amazing wine brought to you instantly. In fact, Siobhan lives in an 8-hectare cellar. You've bought something along, and I'm really excited you brought this along because you have a new brand proposition. We had earlier this year the formation of a new association, the South African Chardonnay Association. And I think that is a wonderful coming together of the initiative and excitement in South African wine, but also a varietal that we are doing so well at the moment.
We are. And I must admit, I always go, I'm a Chardy girl, but don't tell anybody. I have so much to choose from. And I think it does go, okay, what do I feel like today? Is it a light style red? Is it a Chardonnay? Is it a Sauvignon Blanc? But my daughter and I, my daughter's now also in the wine industry. She and I sit down on a Friday evening and we go, okay, let's open a bottle of Chardonnay. And invariably, I pull out a little bottle of Baroness Nadine. And it's my you know, sort of a little go-to Chardonnay. It's not a little one. It's a great one. And I popped down to the standard and I said to JC and, can I be there a bottle of Chardonnay? And out came the Chardonnay. So,
Well, cheers both to Carla and the team who make such wonderful Chardonnay, but also to you and to Morena and to the Woza team. This looks like you should have had about 8,000 people working on it to pull it together. It's closer to 8 than 8,000, but you've done an extraordinary job. I'm not sure I've ever been prouder to be a very small part of the South African wine industry and so excited. So cheers to you and the team and thank you for a wonderful week.
Thanks. And Dan, thank you for all the support. Breakfast in a glass.
That is glorious.
It is lovely.
We do need to pair it, though, with just a little more conversation because we have now come just about to the end of this celebration that is Cape Wine. There has been so much that has been happening in it. And I want to touch on one or two of those elements before I look forward to the future. One of my favorites, I know you've been working with the Johnson Workwear team this year on setting up the tasting experience. And that's been a really cool element of something that's so important to me in the wine media that I do, which is education, but education on people's own terms, giving them a way of learning about wine that they feel comfortable with, not being dictated to and talked down to about it, but just finding their own feet. And I think that understanding, as we try and get more people to understand and to enjoy the magic of wine, is to not prescribe what it should be, but rather find a way to make this accessible, find your sweet spot for understanding wine and start to enjoy it on your own terms.
Correct. I think you need to take the intimidation out of wine. As new drinkers come into the market, I think they can feel very intimidated. So that's from a consumer point of view. And sometimes the language is not something they understand. So it's important also to create language that they can associate with. Food is not necessarily the food I eat, is the food that, for instance, you eat. So your understanding of flavors will be very different. So that's, I think, very important in how do you become more approachable to consumers and bring more consumers into wine and create wine that they enjoy. Not everyone likes the same style. Not everyone wants to drink white. You know, so I think that's important. From a trade and a buyer point of view, I think it's great to put forward what we call tasting zones or tasting areas where they can go and see different expressions of Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, low alcohol, Cap Classique. And they can make their own notes and have the time to taste, experience, and then form their own opinion. Sometimes going to a stand and having a discussion with a marketing person or a winemaker just doesn't give them that time to step back. So we've had really good feedback. We do it at Provine in Germany, and we do it in this show just to give people the time to experience and see what's on offer. And that's the idea of the tasting zone.
Well, it's been a great success. In fact, so successful that I lost my camera crew in there yesterday for an hour. They're having way too much fun. And if our resultant show looks a little Blair Witch Project-like and it's filming, then it's your fault entirely for setting up
that.
But that Johnson Workwear tasting has been a great success. So too have been the attendant events around the seminars and the discussions. They've been quite technical in many cases, but we now sit in a space, a South African wine, where we have guests from around the world who want to come and listen to an Ardy Badenhorst, who, despite looking like a slightly homeless surfer, is a great expert and authority on wine. And we now have so many people, not just the winemakers, but people who sit in the technical side of wine, the production side of wine, the study of wine, who are world-class in their field and form part of this composite South African wine industry that has so much to be proud of.
I think that's what's very important is we've got two areas where you can go and experience the knowledge or you know, an interesting topic. One is a shorter seminar, being the Speaker's Corner, the Amarum Speaker's Corner. So that's almost bite sizes and of information plus wines. And then there's the more serious one upstairs, which is the hour-long seminar, a little bit more meatier topic, as you say, technical. But the idea is really to bring topics forward that will educate and form an interest in people's minds to go and explore further. So we've got various topics from looking at drought resistance cultivars to black empowerment to regenerative farming, Cap Classique, you know, where we're going with that. And that's the idea, is like pique your interest and then find out more afterwards in the Amarum Speaker's Corner. And upstairs is, okay, I really didn't know that much information. This is great. How does it relate to the wine? So both areas link wine to the topic. So you'll have a lineup of wine, explore this, how that comes through in the wine as an expression. And I think those, again, are very, very successful in terms of attendance, and it sort of lays that foundation of educating and getting people interested in those wines to then later on stock them and hopefully buy them and export them.
So, it is South African wine Disneyland here this week for the wine nerd. It's been a great deal of fun. It's also been a great deal of fun, and this is now where I risk legal action from the CEO of Woza into the evenings. And I'm not going to mention any particular Woza CEOs dancing on tables during the course of the week, but every night there's been a dozen different things to choose from: celebrations, parties, engagements, dinners. The South African industry has not held back on entertaining people this week, and it's been a joy to be part of them. What have been some of your favorites, and how much fun has that social element of all of this been for you?
Okay, so here's the disclaimer. As a CEO, you don't get to dance on the tables and have the fun.
We'll pretend that's not the case.
But I have been last night we went to a very, very interesting discussion involving Bruce Jack's wine at Vinnie's Wine and Spear Wine, which really spoke about maybe some of the challenges we face from a buying perspective, you know, from talking to a buyer out there or a trader, how they see South African wine and where we see ourselves going. So that was the serious sit round and have a good glass of wine, but also a serious conversation and eat some delicious food from Bertus Besson. And I think that's what's great. And then, you know, the rest of my staff, who don't have to do all the serious things, went off to Origin and had a great time and apparently had a rocking band. And the next lot went to DGB's Bridgerton party. So I think it's different expressions, different levels of fun and seriousness. But the idea is really to expose guests to different wines, different information, and also they can let their hair down. And they get fed.
I think I've crisscrossed the city over the evenings of this week, from Peter Ferreira watching Johan Malan Sabraj, a 3-liter bottle of bubbles at the Cap Classique night, Mike Ratcliffe and his 7 vineyards atop the Nasdaq building. Lots of rooftop parties this week, culture swarming with people all the way through the week. And it just adds such vibrancy to the city when this wine community is in town. And it's a cool one to be part of.
Yeah. No, I think it's fantastic. I think you get the record for speed dating events. I think it attended 3 events a night. Well done, Dan. But I think that's what's great is there's an element almost of wine tourism in there, shall we say, urban Cape Town tourism, where people are experiencing different venues across Cape Town, but at the same time learning more about wine and being exposed to serious topics on wine with some great producers. And I think that's the whole idea, is to give our visitors an experience of not just being in the hall, but also getting out into the vineyards before Cape Wine, and during Cape Wine, getting out into the beautiful CBD of Cape Town.
Collectively then, an almighty triumph up to a point, because as great as this week has been, as phenomenal as all of the interactions have been, as much fun as we have had, it only really is successful if that then translates into those aims. So yes, you've got people from all over the world going home with the greatest memories ever of South Africa. But if those people aren't then importing, buying, talking about, celebrating our wine, then we haven't completely delivered on the objectives. And you know exactly how that works. So what is your measure of success? How do you measure it? Do you look at this in 6 weeks' time, in 6 months' time, in 3 years' time? How do you assess the true value of this event and how much impact you've really had on South African wine?
Dan, that's the important question. And I think there's different levels to it. So firstly, what we want to do is change or grow the image of South African wine. This helps with that. So show the world what we can do, how we do it, and why we do it, and that we are as good as other great wine-producing countries around the world. So that's one objective. The second objective is tourism. It also impacts tourism. So as you know, wine tourism is not just about wine. It's about the experience, about accommodation, it's about the food. So they get a little taste of that. But then most importantly, grow exports. And that is a long burn. You're not going to see that tomorrow. You're not going to necessarily see that in 3 weeks' time. It's in the next 3 to 6 months. We want to see the export pick up. That's what we need to do. And we spoke right at the beginning of the interview and we joked about the United States and the challenges there. But yes, we are going to lose exports to the United States. So we need to gain exports in other markets as well. So we need to keep keep some stability in the US, but now we want to see other countries pick up. And we have had some challenging times. I don't think it's about brand South Africa. It's about the economy. And other countries have had the same challenges. So what we want to see is some growth coming out of this. And it doesn't have to be huge volume growth. Yes, we want to see volume growth, but we also want to see value growth. We want to see a good return on what we export in terms of money coming back into the country.
I love to hear that. That's such an important part of it, and it makes me very happy indeed, as has this entire week. It's been terrific. It's not a simple, straightforward walk from here. There are lots of other countries who are trying to sell wine.
Correct.
And some of it is almost drinkable, but we have that excellent advantage of great, great wine and great, great people, and you've given us a platform to shine plenty of sunshine on that this week. So I know we've already cheered once, but I shall do so again, because it really is a huge big up to you and to the WOSA team, and it's a WOSA team from all over the world. Keep doing incredible work. You do have wonderful, wonderful wine to work with, but it's still a big, big task. You've given us a terrific week. There is much more to be done, but I think as you kick your heels off when you get home at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning with a half-empty bottle of Baroness Nadine in each home, the smile on your face will be well-deserved, because you and Team WOSA have given us an extraordinary week, so thank you.
Thank you, and a big shout-out to Carla and JC for sharing their wine with us today.
Well, there we go. As we come to an end of Cape Wine, Siobhan Thompson, CEO of WOSA, and her incredible collection of WOSA colleagues can look back on what has been a hugely impactful week for South African wine. There is much work still to be done, certainly, but there is absolutely no doubt that the platform is immensely solid. The future has great potential, and I am not the only one who believes that South African wine has got some good times ahead. Cheers.